This is kind of Bill and Rob unplugged today. So they did a good job, didn't they? That last song has a lot of meaning for me. I hope it has meaning for you, because I have a feeling if we understood to a greater degree, as humanly possible, of what God's grace means, churches would be filled to capacity. And unfortunately, it's not the case, okay? But as I was preparing this message for today, I was really overwhelmed by God's grace, and I'll tell you why. You know, this is the point in Samuel, for those of you who have been able to be here most weeks, this is the point in Samuel where Samuel's getting old. His children were at this point corrupt. They weren't fit for leadership. And the people got together and they demanded that Samuel appoint a king, right? I want you to keep in mind that when the people got together to do this, they didn't consult God. In fact, by doing this, they rejected God's leadership. But God heard them, and he told Samuel, warn the people that if I give them what they want, here's what the king is going to do. He's going to tax you up to here. He's going to take your sons and put them in the military. He's going to take your daughters and have them work for him. He's going to take your crops. He's going to, all this sorts of stuff that eventually did come true. They still said, we still want a king. And so we're at this point. And so God says, I'll give them what they want. I'll give them what they want. Here's where grace comes in. Grace comes in the fact that even though they went against God's will, even though they went against God's choice, he still wanted the king to succeed. That's amazing to me. He still wanted the king to succeed. I really believe the whole book talks about what true success is. Now, I have to be honest with you, when I was at the school on Friday, I'm looking at all these young lives in front of me, and the thought came to me, because I've done the preparation for the message, and I'm saying, every one of these kids is probably developing their own definition of what success is and looks like, and most of it is misinformed. Most of it is misinformed. Success is not just the making a lot of money and have a lot of things. Although, if God blesses you that way, hey, fine, enjoy it, okay? Success also is not poverty, all right? True success has a lot more to do with a heart attitude rather than a house, a car, a bank book, and so on and so forth. And so, I want to kind of concentrate on this today, but I want to say to you this, for a Christ follower, and even for a non-believer who doesn't get the sense of the magnitude of God's grace, earthly success is only temporal. It's fleeting, right? It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Some people will do anything in their power to get 15 minutes of fame, right? You don't believe me? Watch American Idol, right? You know, in the tryouts, there are people who should never be there, but they want their moment of fame. And so, here we are. I want to bring you through this today, and I want you to listen carefully. In the very first verse, we come up with a big problem. And here it is. There was a Benjamite, a man of standing, literally tall, whose name was Kish, son of Abiel, the son of Zeor, the son of, you can have a quiz on these names, so on and so forth. But Kish had a son named Saul, a handsome young man as could be found anywhere in Israel. And he was a head taller than anyone else. You get the picture? He's a good-looking guy. Tall, handsome, right? And unfortunately, things don't change much age to age. If we had a tall, handsome candidate running for president in our country, you'd probably get the vote. Not because of qualifications, but because he looked good. Okay? Here's the problem. Saul was a Benjamite. The prophecy, God's word, says simply this, that when you do get a king, he's going to come from the tribe of Judah. But God graciously lets the people have what they wish. So Saul, pardon the expression, Saul's term was a one-term king. By definition, he had to be a one-term king. But even at that, God wanted him to succeed. Look what happens here. Saul was on a mission for his father looking for lost donkeys. If you pick it up in the middle of the verse, Kish said to his son, take one of your servants with you and go look for the donkeys. So Saul's kind of oblivious to what's happening around him. He didn't have the political or the social savvy even for office of any type. So he passed through the hill, the country of Ephraim, and through the area, and they did not find them. Then they went into the district of Shalim, but the donkeys were not there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin, but they did not find him. God was using this circumstance to bring Saul to a place that Saul wanted to be. But Saul didn't even realize it. Has that ever happened to you? That God uses circumstances to bring you to a certain place that he wanted you to be? And so, when they reached the district of Zuf, how'd you like that, huh? Saul said to the servants who was with him, come, let us go back, or my father will stop thinking about the donkeys and start worrying about us. So he was kind of fixed on this mission. The one thing I could say about Saul was that he was resolute in what he wanted to do. But the servant replied, look, in this town there's a man of God. He's highly respected. And everything he says comes true. Let us go there now. Perhaps he will tell us the way to take. The remarkable thing about this is simply this, that Saul, even at this point in the life of Samuel, Samuel's here probably about 90 years old, had no idea who he was. So that tells me that Saul was marginally, at best, interested in religious things. Right? He had no idea who this prophet was. Samuel was known all through the countryside. And yet, God still works with him. The servant answered him, look, I have a quarter of a shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God so that he would tell us the way to take. Formerly in Israel, if somebody went to inquire of God, they would say, come, let us go this, to see the seer, meaning the prophet, because the prophet of today used to be called the seer. Good, Saul said to his servant, come, let us go. And I'm gonna fast forward here a little bit. To verse 12. Here he is, they said, when they meet Saul. He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has just come into our town for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. The place of worship back then was not a tabernacle or a temple as we would know it today, but typically they would go to like a mountain or a hilltop and have a worship service. Isn't that neat? Okay. As soon as you enter the town, you will find him before he goes up to the place, the high place to eat. The people will not begin eating until he comes, because he must bless the sacrifice afterward. Those who are invited will eat. Now go up and you should find him there about this time. God's orchestrating this whole thing. And then when they went up to the town, as they were entering it, there was Samuel coming toward them on his way up to the high place. Now, the day before Samuel came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel. So God was in this whole thing. He says, about this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him, ruler over my people, and he will deliver them from the hands of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me. This is God's grace. He's saying to Samuel, they're picking a king that they shouldn't have. They're rejecting me in the process, God says, but I still want the king to succeed. Now, without the grace of God operating in the life of a person, we could never know true success. Does that ring true? Without a realization of the grace of God in our lives, we can't even grasp what true biblical success looks like. And so, Saul was to be anointed. This guy was naive. He was unprepared. He had no idea what was going on around him as far as what was going on religiously with Samuel or anything like that. And yet God works with him. The anointing of oil is something that is a key here, because the anointing of oil is a signal that, first of all, God will empower Saul to do what God wants him to do. Symbol of the Holy Spirit. Correct? You with me? Okay. So, there has to be realization of the grace of God. There has to be a realization of the anointing of God. Let's go on. When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, "This is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people." Saul approached Samuel in the gateway, and he says, "Would you please tell me where the seer's house is?" "I am the seer," Samuel replied. "Go up ahead of me to the high place, for today you are to eat with me, and in the morning I will send you on your way and tell you what is all that is in your heart." This guy didn't even know who Samuel was. And he says, "Come and dine with me. I'll pick up the check. Come dine with me. As for the donkeys you lost 3 days ago, don't worry about them. They've been found. And to whom is all the desire of Israel turned, if not to you and your whole family line?" Saul answered, "Am I not the Benjamite from the smallest tribe in Israel? And is this not the clan of the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin?" In other words, I'm the runt. You know, we're the smallest, least powerful tribe. Why do you say such things to me? Then Samuel brought Saul and his servants into the hall and seated them at the head of those who were invited, about 30 in number. Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the piece of meat I gave you, the one today I told you to lay aside." So the cook did. He brought in the meat. They had a feast. Saul dined with Samuel that day. He ate with Samuel. Okay. After they came down from the high place, Samuel talked to Saul on the roof of his house. Look what happens here. They rose about daybreak, and Samuel called Saul on the roof and said, "Get ready, and I will send you on your way." When Saul got ready, he and Samuel went outside. As they were going down to the edge of town, Samuel said to Saul, "Tell the servant to go on ahead of us." And the servant did so. "But I must stay here for a while so that I may give you a message from God." Can you picture Saul? "I'm a Benjamite. I didn't know who you were, Samuel, before I came here." Well, I knew that some people said you were a seer. "And now you're going to give me a message from God?" What grace of God. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Samuel's head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you ruler over his inheritance?" Wow. So let me ask you a question this morning. When you first met Jesus, were you overwhelmed by his grace? Were you overwhelmed that he welcomed you with open arms? Were you overwhelmed at the fact that God would even look at you, a sinner? Look at me. And that because of what Jesus did on the cross, that we could be washed clean and redeemed. That's why I opened the service with, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God, we sang about that. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now here's the rub. Okay. God will give anyone every chance in the world. I didn't do it. God will give anyone every chance in the world to come to know him, to serve him, and to be successful in what they do. But it's up to us, isn't it? Let me show you why. Whoops, sorry. Chapter 10, it says, when you leave me today, you will meet two men near Rachel's tomb on the border of Benjamin. They will say to you, the donkeys you set out to look for have been found, and now your father has stopped thinking about them and is worried about you. He's asking, what shall I do about my son? Then you will go from there until you reach the great tree of Tabor. Three men going to worship God at Bethel will meet you there. One will be carrying three of the young goats and three loaves of bread and the other skin of wine. Now, these are important things. The reason why they are important things is, first of all, God wanted to show Saul that you've been anointed. You've been a recipient of God's grace in the fact that he wants you to succeed as king. Let me show you what else God will do for you. God will grant you wisdom. But here's the if you depend on him. God will grant you wisdom if you depend on him. Paul puts it this way. He says, "We don't go by the world's wisdom, but live by the wisdom of God." I want to ask a question. You answer it between you and God. When was the last time you asked God for wisdom? When was the last time you came to the Word and said, "Lord, I really need some wisdom and guidance here"? If Saul would have learned to submit and obey God, God would help him solve his problems. How do I know that? Hey, Saul, you know those three donkeys you were worried about? They were found. You don't have to worry about them anymore. God was giving him signs to say, you need to trust me. You need to lean on me. That wasn't enough. Let me give you a pathological problem Saul had. Saul had control issues. Nobody here has control issues, right? No? Are you alive? If you have a type A personality, or you might be a little bit obsessive compulsive, be a tendency to control it, have control issues. And Saul had control issues, which posed a problem for him. We'll get into that. The other thing is the provision of God. God wanted to show Saul that he will provide for everything he needs if Saul just trusts him. How do I know that? One will be carrying three young goats, another three loaves of bread, and another a skin of wine. They will greet you and offer you two loaves, which you will accept from them. Provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Provision. If we submit to God. So God's grace, element number one of success. God's wisdom, seeking God's wisdom. Element number two, relying on God for provision. And then relying on God for his power. Look at verse 5. After that, you will go to Gibeah of to Gibeah of God, where there's a Philistine outpost. As you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place with lyres, trembles, pipes, and harps playing before them, and they will be prophesying. By the way, instruments are always in picture here, huh? They will be prophesying. Then he goes on to say, the Spirit of God will come upon you powerfully, and you will prophesy with them and be changed into a different person. Once the signs are fulfilled, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. God wanted Saul to succeed as king in spite of himself. In spite of himself. Prophesy in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thus, guidance and the spiritual power of God was available to Saul. The Holy Spirit would equip Saul and empower him for his kingship. The grace of God amazes me. You realize God wants every one of you to be successful. But true biblical success. I don't care what you're doing. You're a sanitation engineer. You're a domestic engineer. You have a job in a factory. You have a job in a store. I don't care what you're doing. God wants you to be a success for Him, for His glory. And it's not just the accumulation of wealth. It's not just the having nice things and all of that. That's not what defines a success. What defines true biblical success is whether we are glorifying God in whatever we do, whether we're overwhelmed by His grace, whether we're relying on Him for His wisdom, if we're submitting to Him for His provision, if we are walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then there's one last element: continuing worship. Continuing worship. Why don't you look what happens here? Start to see some of the cracks in Saul here. Whoop. It's not working for me for some reason. Thank you. It says, go down ahead of me to Gilgal. I will surely come down to you and sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what to do. As Saul turned to leave Samuel, God changed Saul's heart. And all these signs, they were fulfilled that day. It made an impact on Saul. Should have made an impact. But it was not long lived. When he and his servants arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met them. The Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined them prophesying. When all those who had formerly known him, saw him prophesying with the prophets, they said, what is this? What's happened to the son of Kish? Is this Saul among the prophets? They knew him before. A man who lived there answered, who is this and who is their father? So it became a saying, is Saul also? After Saul stopped prophesying, he went to the high place. Now Saul's uncle asked him, where have you been looking for the donkeys? But when we saw that they were not to be found, we went to Samuel, and he recounts the story. Okay. Saul replied, he assured us that the donkeys had been found, but did not tell us his uncle what Saul said about the kingship. How can you keep something like that? You've just experienced the grace of God. God shows you three signs that He wants you to succeed as king. He anointed you with oil to signify the power of the Holy Spirit. He say nothing? Whoa. Samuel summoned the people of Israel to Mizpah, and he said to them, this is what the Lord God of Israel says, I've brought you up from Egypt. Now, Saul's now recounting the Exodus. I delivered you from the power of Egypt. Excuse me. And all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But now you have rejected those who you rejected your guard who saves you out of all disasters and calamity, and you have said, no, appoint a king over us. So now present yourself before the Lord by your tribes and clans. So Samuel is saying, look, time's come. You're going to get what you asked for, and we're going to present them to you. When Samuel had called Israel to come forward by tribes, the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. Then he brought forward Benjamin clan by clan and so on and so forth. So they inquired of the Lord, has the man come here yet? And the Lord said, yes, he has. He has hidden himself among the supplies. Saul is hiding. It's like, where's Waldo? Where's Waldo? And, you know, some people said, well, maybe Saul had a really humble heart. No, I just don't think he got it. I don't think he got the magnitude of what was happening. I don't think he realized the magnitude of God's grace. I don't think he realized the magnitude of God's provision. I don't think he recognized the magnitude of God's wisdom and his guidance and his power. And I don't think Saul was ready to give up control. We're going to find that out in coming days. How about us? They ran and they brought him out. They had to go get him. They had to bring him out. And he stood there among the people, and he was a head taller than any others. Good-looking guy. That's what counts. He was a good-looking guy. Samuel said to the people, do you see the man that the Lord has chosen? There's no one like him among all people. Then the people said, long live the king. Samuel explained to the people the rights and the duties of kingship. He wrote them down on a scroll, deposited it before the Lord. And then Samuel dismissed the crowd to go to their own homes. Kind of anticlimactic, right? Okay. So what about us? What about us? I'm afraid too many times we make the serious mistake are thinking that we can achieve success apart from God. I'm talking about true success. We could do not only apart from him, but apart from his will. The Bible indicates that true biblical success means that we rely on the grace of God, the wisdom of God, the guidance of God, the provision of God, and that we have a continuing relationship with Jesus Christ through worship and study. Wow. One of the days I will never forget, I'll be very honest with you, is the day of my ordination. Some of you were there. And on the day of ordination, the only thing that was going through my mind is, why did God ever pick me? Why God? I mean, I was in tears. You know, one of the songs we sang was, Great is Thy Faithfulness, you know. And that was appropriate because it wasn't my faithfulness, it was God's. It wasn't my achievement, it was God's achievement. It wasn't all my hard study, it was God's guidance and wisdom and provision in that study. And so, you know, the ordination service was very, very special to me. And so, pardon me, but Saul just went through an ordination and a commissioning service. It's like, okay, next order of business. And grace still wanted him to succeed. There can be no success, true biblical success, unless you and I submit and rely on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, put ourselves in submission to the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God. So the last question I want to leave us with is this. Are there idols holding you back from that? I'm not talking about statues. I'm talking about things that might be good. Some might not be good. that are holding us back from giving ourselves fully to God, that that are preventing us from submitting to His will so we can be successful in His eyes? Only you could answer that. The story of Saul gets interesting as we go along. The end result, because we're going to skip some chapters in this just because of length, but the end result, as you will find out in the coming weeks, is this. Saul chose to reject the grace of God and depend on himself. As a result, he lost his kingship. There is danger when we choose to reject the grace of God and rely on ourselves. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask Bill and Rob to come up.